Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special night as we remember George Red Fry, Remembering Red, a special celebration of the life and the legend of Ironman George Red Fry. And we got a special show lined up for you tonight to look back on the amazing life of George Red Fry, an Ironman on the 1939 Iowa football team, a team that is remembered so affectionately in the hearts of all Hawkeye fans. But George is more than just a football player, an amazing man, lived an amazing life. And we're not only going to recap and relook at his amazing accomplishments on the football field, but also how he's touched the lives of so many people and this community of ours here in Olympia. And we're going to be joined with Jim Zabel, the legendary voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, going to join us here in just a few minutes. Terry Malloy will join us, Community First Credit Union, purchasing the land that from George Red Fry. And in doing that, they put a special mural up to honor George. And we're going to talk with Terry about their decision to do that and how he impacted their lives. We're also going to visit with Dave Paxton, the editor and publisher of the Olympia newspaper, talking about the significant impact a man has made on our entire community. And of course, he'll be forever remembered as an Ironman. And we're going to have Tom Caker from HawkeyeReport.com to stop by and talk about the impact of that 1939 team on the entire Iowa Hawkeye football program, a team that really changed the tide in the Iowa football program, a program that was really struggling, a nation that was struggling, a nation that was coming out of a depression and entering into a world war. And this Iowa football team stole the hearts not just of Iowans, but the entire country. And of course, Niall Kinnick, probably the most renowned player on that football team, Heisman Trophy winner. Many thought that he would go on to become the president of the United States. From that team, many doctors, lawyers, and amazing professionals were created. And really, George Red Fry, a member of that team, a part of the greatest generation. According to Tom Brokaw, when they talk about this generation of men, truly the greatest generation in our lifetime. We're going to come back here after a quick timeout and be joined with the legendary voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Jim Zabel, when we come back to this special sports broadcast, Remembering Red.
Pharmacy in Oskaloosa is a family tradition. Dick Van Dyke came to Oskaloosa over 40 years ago. He was one of the first Medi-Cap pharmacies in Iowa. Now his daughter, Michelle Van Dyke Heidebrink, carries on that family tradition at the Medi-Cap Pharmacy in Oskaloosa. They offer fast, courteous service, drive-up and delivery service, and mail-out. Take your next prescription to your family pharmacy, Medi-Cap Pharmacy in Oskaloosa, 504 A Avenue West.
At H&R Block, we often find money for people they didn't know they had coming. Now it's your turn. Come into H&R Block today for a free second look at your taxes. Last year, we found errors on 2 out of 3 returns prepared by others, and those errors can be costly. Come in for a free second look review today. Choose H&R Block and never settle for less.
Visit H&R Block in Knoxville, Sheraton, and Albia.
Error rates are for 2010 second look program reviews. Additional fees apply if you have us file an amended or corrected return. Available at participating offices. Offer ends March 31st, 2011.
Call Lee Frank at H&R Block, 842-6912.
This is Ian Greiner. My dad owns the Buffalo and I love a vacation. I convinced my dad to start giving them away to show you how healthy and good our kids' meals are. Every kids' meal gives you a chance to win a weekly vacation drawing. Winners receive one night poolside at the Indian Hills Inn. We can swim, mom and dad can soak in the spa, and my sister and I watch free movies in our hotel room. All the while splitting our free large pizza and pop. My folks like it when we tire ourselves out and go to bed early, but I don't know why. Vacations are fun, so eat more kids' meals at the Buffalo, and maybe you'll win a free family vacation too. See you at the Buffalo.
When you need to find a car at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Roll in to B&D Automotive, Highway 65 North in Humiston. It's their gigantic filter and tool sale going on now. And their open house is this week, Thursday, serving food from 11 to 2. Roll on with CarQuest and B&D Automotive.
Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Welcome back, everyone, to special broadcast tonight, Remembering Red, the celebration of a tremendous life and a legend of Ironman George Red Fry. And joining me on the line right now from Arizona is a legend himself, the legendary voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, a voice that as soon as you hear it, you know exactly who it is, Jim Zobel. Jim, welcome aboard on this bittersweet night where we celebrate the life.
Thank you very much, and if I was... down there, I'd say I love it, I love it, I love it. I love talking about Red Fry.
Well, Jim, you guys have had a friendship over these years, and you know, how did you guys become such great friends?
Well, of course, I saw him play, and he was a blocking back for Niall Kinnick. And Kinnick, of course, went on to win the Heisman Trophy, so Red Fry was very instrumental in that. So as a player, I got to admire him because of his importance to... the part of the Iron Man, and they become such a big, immortal part of the state of Iowa, and how much we remember them, and what a magnificent time of all of our lives that was. But then later on, Al Coupe was a good friend of mine, and Al and I got together a lot of times, and he was always with Red Fry. Al would come back when he went to the coast in 1958. When he'd come back, he'd call me, and he was always a Red Fry, and I think they were always fishing when they got together. They were buddies. And so I got to know Red Fry two ways, to watch him as a player and to also meet him in person. And we'd come up and we'd go out. I met him in Albia, of course, when I emceed Red Fry Day down there. Met him again. Had him on many, many interviews on WHO. Had him on a lot of halftime shows, and I can remember vividly coming with him and Coupe, and we'd go out to maybe over to Babe. Babe loves those guys, and Babe had, of course, the top restaurant in Des Moines. We'd go over and eat pizza at Babe's and relive some of those great days back there with the immortal Iron Man. So I'll tell you, when you do as many games as I've done, I did about 6,000 actual play-by-play broadcasts. There are certain people that just remain indelible with you for the rest of your life. Red Fry was one of those guys. He just was a marvelous man. He was devoted to the Iowa Hawkeyes, devoted to the town of Albia. And I think that love is shared by Albia, too, because I can't imagine there's a more popular figure or a more beloved figure or a man who's missed more than Red Fry is right now.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Jim. You know, you just hit on it. George was much more than a football player. A matter of fact, he was probably he was a third string center for the team. He took advantage, and one of the things he always talked about with me, and he said that one of the keys to his success was what he called stick-to-itiveness. He just stuck in there and kept on going. And when you look at that football team, 1939. Dr. Eddie Anderson made it a living nightmare for those guys. He was a first-year coach, and really the program was in jeopardy. I think a lot of people were talking about maybe the program falling apart, and Anderson come along, and he made a living nightmare for them. And it took that stick-to-itiveness. Only 32 of the 85 players made it after spring practice.
Well, yeah, and as I say, when you do as many games I have, there are certain eras that just stick with you as being the greatest of all, because you lived them, you went through them. The victories over Minnesota, the victory over Notre Dame, and Niall Kinnick, everything he did, the Heisman Trophy. I was a high school kid at that time when that happened, and I couldn't believe it. And then the next time it came around, when Nebuchadnezzar came and went to the Rose Bowl, there are certain things that even as you look back over a long career, you can hardly believe they actually happened. And what they did for the state of Iowa was just tremendous. They brought the state together. We were just coming out of a depression, and there's a lot of down moments and so forth. But that was just a marvelous time, an immortal time that we're all going to remember because of those Ironmen and what they did and what they accomplished. And Red Fry was right in the middle of that whole thing. He was one of the key figures.
We're celebrating the life of George Red Fry and the special Remembering Red night, and with me on the line right now is a legend himself, Jim Zobel. And Jim, you know, this Ironman team has been branded because of the Ironman, but there was only 13 players off that team that actually earned the status of an Ironman, and George doing that in his final game against Northwestern.
Well, That's right. He certainly was an Iron Man, and I realized the reason they were called Iron Man, there weren't that many of them. You talk about Eddie Anderson. Yeah, I knew Eddie Anderson, and he was a tough guy. But then all the coaches in the Big Ten at that time, Bernie Bierman and all the rest of them, were tough customers to deal with. They were a great beat. They were very fascinating, and they were great coaches. And it was a tough thing, and football was tough. It's always tough because it is a tough game. But, boy, then it was really tough because the coaches were hard on the players and so forth. But Red Fry, you got to admire him. He came up as a blocking back or as a third-team center, played that role very well, and then helped Niall Kinnick win the Heisman. That certainly makes him number one in my book.
Well, George often talked about that fact that he had little doubt that Niall Kinnick would have became president of the United States had he survived. And he must have had just an aura around him because he was a talented football player, but many on the team say that Irwin Prassy was probably the best athlete on the team.
I totally agree with you. I met Kinnick on two occasions. I was editor-in-chief of the Daily Iowan in 1943 when we received the telegram that Kinnick had been killed. And I couldn't believe it. None of us could believe it. We hardly spoke to each other. We were putting out the Daily Iowan at that time. And I came back to my office in the basement of East Hall, wrote a letter to President Hanscher, urging that they immediately name the stadium after Niall Kinnick. Hanscher wrote me back a very nice letter saying, yes, he certainly was deserving, but that many men would die in World War II and that we should wait. And, of course, in 1972, they did name the stadium after Kinnick. But those were just indelible times. You had to really live through them. And one thing, I feel sorry for a lot of young people that didn't have the opportunity to live through the Iron Man years or the 56 years of going to the Rose Bowl for the first time or any of those great, great moments we had, because they are moments that are going to live forever in the annals of Iowa history.
Well, that's just the thing. You know, when I go to iClub functions or different activities with the university, and I would be with George, and there would be great players there and from the past, even the players from the on the current roster and the coaches. It never failed that George Red Fry's line of people wanting his autograph was the longest line there. They must have just had a huge impact.
Always, always. I know when I'd interview him, people say, oh, Red Fry, did he do that? Did he block for Kinnick? And, you know, young people that weren't around at that time were just in awe of this guy out of the past. And he loved Albia. He loved his town. He loved his hometown. Loved the Hawkeyes. And he was just a very special man. Well, he lived a long and full life that made him even more beloved. I can't imagine anybody coming out of Albia, or as a matter of fact, coming out of any place in Iowa, more beloved than Red Fry.
Well, one thing that that really stands out to me is Red had bear claw hands.
Yeah.
And he would greet you with these bear claw hands, and he'd give you a handshake that you'd never forget, while at the same time greeting you with a smile that made you feel like you were his best friend for life.
That's right. And I'm looking in my book, Jim Zobel, 65 Years of Fun and Games, which came out this fall. I got a full-page picture in color of Red and me at the Red Fry Day in Albia that I had the opportunity to MC a couple of years ago. He just looks like a rough, tough lumberjack, kind of a guy that could handle himself at any age.
Well, I can tell you, 2 days ago I was out to see him, and he was perky and well and shook my hand, and even at 91 you knew you had a bear claw of a grip on you. You know, he just the other thing about Red, Jim, and I think this has a part to do with why these men were a part of, as Tom Brokaw talked about in one of his books, The Greatest Generation, as they would do great things, but they didn't stand around and wait for someone to pat them on the back. George was the most humble person I've ever met. And I think that you know, a lot of people, he didn't realize the things he had done, not just on the football field, but in life, because he didn't talk about himself. And matter of fact, he would shy away from it. When we'd get in those lines, you know, he was so humble, he was almost uncomfortable with things.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's such an important part of a man's makeup, I think. It's one thing to achieve. It's another thing to have people realize what you achieve. But you yourself remain humble and don't brag about it or anything like that. And that's exactly the way he was. That was one of his most endearing features.
We're talking with Jim Zabel, the legendary voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, and we're remembering Red Fry, the Ironman, the legend, the life of Red Fry. And Jim, real quick, you know, when you think about this greatest generation, that you know, it's, you start to see it, these people leaving our lives, and all we have is their legacy that's left behind. Are we seeing changes in the way the sport, and you've seen the changes over the years? Does that stand out to you?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, a certain amount of change is inevitable. But some of the changes are good. Some of them are not good. I know a lot of the young guys, and I spent most of my life hanging around with guys between 17 and 22 years old, which I love because I love young people. But and some of them are okay, and some of them are very nice, and some of them are very humble, so forth. But there aren't too many Red Frys in among them who achieved as much as he did and yet retained all that air of humility and let the other people praise him. But he just seemed to be content to lay back. And I know the interviews I did with him, it was almost hard to get out the accomplishments that he did. And he was amazed that anybody would pay attention to him.
Yeah, I just that's that part that stands out to me. Matter of fact, I was visiting with his family and his grandchildren, and they had really no idea how much of an impact George has had in the lives of people, particularly people who were going through that time, because George never talked about it. But when they would go to a function and all these people are making a fuss after their grandfather,
right,
they really didn't understand it. And that's because George didn't go home and make it about him. It was everything in life was about everybody else.
Everybody else. As a matter of fact, I can bring you right up to date, because one of my favorite people that worked with me for 17 years, Ed Podolak, was injured in an automobile accident. He got hit by a car down here in Arizona where I am. So I've been down to the hospital many days to see Ed, and I called him and told him that I was going to be on a radio show in Albia, Iowa, saluting the late Red Fry. And he said, "Oh, my God," he said, "give my condolences to the family and the friends, because he was a hero to me, and Ed Podolak is a hero to a lot of people."
Oh, unbelievable, and what a pair you guys were. Jim, we have a clip from the last time we had you on when we were celebrating. We had a special celebration, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Red becoming a 13th Ironman, and here's a little conversation, if you don't mind us replaying it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're going to play that right now.
This is Red again. I'm just honored and humbled by all the carrying on here, but I appreciate everything that's been said and done. So I appreciate knowing you and your activities and so forth. So thank you very much for your comments.
You bet. And I'll ask you one question, Red. What made Eddie Anderson the kind of a coach that he was? Now, I talked to Bill Reichardt about this one time. When he ran a kickoff back 100 yards for a touchdown, I said, "Reichardt, how in the world did you do that?" He said, I was scared to death that Eddie Anderson was chasing me.
Well, I think that was a pretty true statement. Eddie, of course, had a great knowledge of football, and he was a physician, and gave him a lot of prestige and honor, and he was just a dynamic person to be around.
And he had a great football mind, didn't he?
He sure did. And he, of course, had the backing of Notre Dame and the Four Horsemen and all those guys. So he was just a great person, a great speaker, and a great personality.
Well, Red, I want to tell you this. I want to congratulate you, and through you, I want to congratulate and the memory of all those great Ironmen that were your teammates, and say I hope we can do this another 25 years from now. When we'll both be, 35 years old or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I'm looking forward to that.
And that, of course, was Jim Zabel and Red Fry having the conversation at our
great
celebration.
I'm glad to hear that. Brought back a lot of memories to me.
And, you know, we've been talking about this, and it really is one of those things about George's character that just stands out to me. Is his humbleness, and he led out with the right. With the just stating that how humble he was, and Jim, I appreciate you taking the time. 65 years.
I'm thrilled to be on with you because I'll be honest with you. I've been to 600 towns in Iowa. People don't believe there are 600 towns, but there are. And I think I've spoken in most athletic banquets and so forth. But Albia is a special place for me. I remember the Blue Demons of Albia against the Sheraton Chargers being a big rivalry down there. And Red Fries is so much a part of my memory and my life. God bless the man. He was put on earth for a reason, and he's taken away from us, but he lived a long and full life, but his memory is going to live on forever.
Well, Jim, you have absolutely the same admiration from the people here in Albia. They love you. They love you. They love you. And, you know, you have a special place in all of our hearts. And I know I'm speaking just as one, but I know it would be from the voice of many. And we just appreciate everything. I know the families.
Well, I appreciate that.
The family's listening right now. And if there's anything you'd like to say to the family, you know, I'll love you have that time.
Well, yes. Well, I'll tell you what. You're blessed to have a man like Red Fry as a part of your life and a part of your blood and your whole human being and your emotional makeup, because you've had been associated with a man that's going to, his memory is going to go on forever. And God bless you. I think he's just a terrific memory to have, and I know that you're going to possess that memory a long, long time, and you have a right to do it. But you can be very proud of the fact that Mr. Red Fry was part of your life and part of your being.
Thank you so much, Jim. Real quick here, 65 Years of Fun and Games, that's a tremendous book. I've got one sitting on my coffee table, and I gave it away for presents, but that's still available for those who'd like
still
to.
Still available on Hy-Vee and various other stores, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. Really, it's an honor. I grew up dirt poor listening to to your voice bring those Iowa Hawkeye football games, and I can tell you what, you are loved. Here
in
Albia.
It's an honor for me, too, to be a part of it. And God bless all you wonderful people down there in Albia. I'll tell you what, you talk about the memories that you have when you broadcast. And one of the memories I have is of people in towns like Albia listening to you. And you have so much fondness for them because they whatever success you had, they made you.
Legendary voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Jim Zabel. Jim, we appreciate you coming on, and we're going to continue our special broadcast, a special sports broadcast, Remembering Red, the celebration of the life and the legend of Iron Man George Red Fry. We're going to come back. Tom Caker's going to join us from HawkeyeReport.com. Please don't go anywhere.
The Shack helps you get into mobile with hot deals on your favorite brands of mobile phones and laptop computers. You'll find great prices on everything to help you talk, text, and easily stay connected on the go. Radio Shack also has a big selection of MP3 players, digital cameras, HD TVs, and GPS receivers. Plus must-have accessories like Bluetooth headsets, digital memory cards, tripods, carry cases, and great sounding headphones. So get mobile today at your nearby Radio Shack. They're located at 1417 A Avenue West in Oskaloosa. Kelderman Electronics, your local Radio Shack dealer.
Welcome to your financial institution. Please listen carefully as our menu has changed. For India, press 1. For the Philippines, press 2.
Get real. I live in Iowa. That's why I'm a Community First Credit Union member. Starting April 4th, I can talk to a person who works for Community First 7 days a week. Call 866-360-5370. Community First Credit Union, putting you first for 75 years.
The annual JDRF Benefit Bash will be held April 2nd, and JDRF raffle tickets are on sale now at your Albia Hy-Vee. A 40-inch LCD Toshiba TV, or a beautiful quilt from the Quilters Guild, or how about a $100 gift card from Hy-Vee? Tickets are just a dollar each, or six for $5. Winning tickets will be drawn the night of the benefit, April 2nd. You do not need to be present to win. Thank you for your support to finding a cure for juvenile diabetes.
This is Ann Kearns, mother of
Jill Kearns, owner of Piper's Old Fashioned Grocery and Candy Store on the northeast corner of the Sheraton Square since 1905.
We talk a lot about our delicious homemade candy, and it is something worth talking about.
But we want everyone to know we do carry a basic line of groceries.
And our deli meat counter is the highlight to many, as we have a large selection of meats and cheeses, which are cut fresh for you, or you can call 774-2131 and we'll have it ready for you.
Plus, we carry Sheraton Valley beef, produced and processed by local producers.
So yes, we are proud of our homemade candy, and we do have some neat gift ideas, but don't forget,
we are still an old-fashioned grocery, just with some good additions. Check us out on the northeast corner of the Sheraton Square.
Welcome back, everyone, to a special sports broadcast right here on KIC. This is Jason Summers with Remembering Red, special celebration of the life and the legend of Ironman George Red Fry. And joining us on the phone line right now is Tom Caker from HawkeyeReport.com. And Tom, you get the task of following legendary Jim Zabel. Welcome aboard.
I was just listening in, and thank goodness I called a little early and got to listen to Zabel talk about Red Fry, and there's nothing more I can add. I mean, we got to spend a little time with Jim down at the Inside Bowl. Just he came over for one of the media things, and we don't see him as much in Iowa City anymore, obviously, and you know, he's in a wheelchair now, and he's his health isn't great, but boy, his mind is just so sharp. It's amazing to talk to him about Iowa football and Iowa football history.
One of my favorite moments is the time that George, we put on a special celebration down here for George, going back, I think, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, during Restoration Days down here in Albion. Afterwards, George and Jim got together, and here are these two guys in their late 80s, and they're going nonstop back and forth. Oh, do you remember this? Remember this? Remember this? And they're talking about things when they were 17, 18 years old, and I couldn't remember things I'd done the week before.
it's amazing, and that you know, it's such a special generation of people. And you guys were talking about the greatest generation, and you know what those guys did, and just amazing accomplishments and. We've all benefited from that. The one Red Fry story that always sticks out to me, and it's not even really a personal story for me, and one of our posters on our message board shared it. My friend Dirk, who hosts a cable access show in Iowa City, and I'm on there every once in a while, probably every 2-3 months, I'll be able to go on there and talk a little bit about the Hawkeyes. But and Dirk's a good friend of mine, and he called me one day on a Wednesday night, and he had just driven down to Albia, picked up Red Fry, brought him to Iowa City, taped the show, and then drove back with him and spent a couple hours in Albia at his home. And George couldn't have been nicer to him, couldn't have been more accommodating, said, come on down anytime, visit with me. And he was so excited by that day. He called me up and he said, Tom, you're never going to believe what I did. What I did this day, and how much it meant to him, and how excited he was, and how honored he was just to spend time with Red Fry. And that's always stuck with me, because that doesn't happen every day in life, where you're so excited about something, you want to call your friend and say, amazing day that I had today, and I spent a day with one of the Ironmen, and I was wowed by it. And that's pretty cool stuff in my book.
Well, George always had the knack of, no matter who he was around, making them feel like they were the most important person. He dealt with such humility. Oftentimes, you would go places and if you introduced him as George Red Fry, so instantly the person you're talking to would know he's an Ironman and know who he was, and yet he would shy away from that and really want to talk about them. And I think that's part of the great generation. You know, they did great things, as I was just talking with Jim about, great things, but they did it with humility.
Yeah, it's the humility, and you know, I think back to my grandfather, who's passed away, small-town Iowa guy, you know, never wanted to talk about himself, wanted to talk about how you were doing, how your kids are doing, those sorts of things, and never made it about himself. And at the time, you know, I met Red a couple times, and it was always pretty neat to, I'll never forget that he was at the celebration for the 56 Rose Bowl team, and sat down at a table. Little did I know, I was sitting across from Red Fry. It was you know, coincidence or whatever. I sat down next to a friend of mine, and you know, after he says his name, you know instantly who he is, because if you follow Iowa football, you know the names of the Ironmen. And it was just neat to sit there for an hour and talk to him and meet some of those other 56 team, and get to know some of them as well. But you know, just talking to him about Niall Kinnick and talking to him about playing for Coach Anderson, and you know, really nice, humble guy. His son George was with him as well, and just couldn't have been a nicer guy, and couldn't have been a better experience for me.
We're talking with Tom Caker from HawkeyeReport.com on this special tonight, celebrating the life of George Red Fry, a program we're calling Remembering Red. And Tom, when you look back at the history of Iowa football, this team is probably one of maybe a handful that's most remembered. And I would say it is the most remembered team in terms of status, because of Niall Kinnick being a part of that, and then the fact that there were 13 guys who played complete ball games. But this team, really by many standards, changed the fortunes for football, period, at the University of Iowa. Many had thought that the football program was going to fall apart when this tough-nosed new coach, first-year coach, Eddie Anderson, came along, and he really ran everybody away. Only 32 guys survived out of the first 85 guys that came onto the team. But this team really did change the fortunes of Iowa football.
It really did, and it's one of those, you know, for those of us who are younger, or somewhat younger, you know, there's this younger generation that where Iowa football starts in the 2002 season. There are other people where it starts in the 85 season, or maybe Hayden's 81 season, when you get kind of aware of Iowa football. And then there's another generation that looks back to the Evershevsky era. But there's, you know, it all started back in with Eddie Anderson, the 39 team, the Ironmen. And it's almost a mystic quality to them, because there's not much film. There's not, you know, there wasn't ESPN. There wasn't a lot. The coverage was different. You talked to Pop Brooks and Jim Zobel about those days, and you know, I've talked to Brooks quite a bit about him, you know, peeking through knot holes and going, being part of the knot hole gang that would come to those games, and what an experience it was, and just living through that season. I think for those, that generation that are still around, who've been through all of them, that's probably the most special for them, just because it was such a special time in their lives.
Well, Tom, on your website, on the message boards, it was just real refreshing when I had posted on there that George had passed, the number of people who had such great comments to say about George. They did touch the lives of all Hawkeye fans, and I think many more younger people as well that were posting.
Yeah, and it hopefully gets even more people aware of the accomplishments. Maybe they'll look it up and they'll try to learn more about what those guys did and what they accomplished, not only on the football field, but off the football field. And you know, now Kinnick's story is obviously legendary, but you look at, and you know, tragic in how he passed, you know, fighting for his country. And, but, you know, Red was, you know, a veteran. did so much in that community down there. I mean, you guys can speak to that much better than anybody else about how what an impact he made off the field in his community. And really, that's the measure of the true measure of a man and what they've accomplished in life is to do for the family and their friends and their community.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's a difficult moment for Southern Iowa, but for all Hawk fans. But a night that we can go back and celebrate because we've been blessed to be touched by the life of George Redfrey. And thank you so much for joining us on this special broadcast.
I'm honored to be on it, and all my best to all of Red's family and all of his friends down there. And I'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers here.
Very good. Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com. Go to his website, folks. It's the first thing I do in the morning. I got to get my Hawkeye fix. He does a great job on the website and truly an outstanding journalist and a great guy. And we're going to come back here as we continue to roll along on this difficult night as we celebrate. Our hearts go out to the Fry family and what an outstanding family that is. And our hearts and prayers go out to them. We'll be right back. You're listening to a KIC Sports Broadcast special, Remembering Red Fry, when we return. Terry Malloy.
For services big and small, Dewey Motor is the place to turn for everything from oil changes and tires to brakes and more. At Dewey Motor, you can get just about anything your GM vehicle needs all in one place, all at one time. And now, you can get it at a price that might just surprise you, like AC Delco Durastop ceramic brake pads, installed for only $74.95 per axle after mail-in rebate debit card. That's $25 off the everyday value price if you act now. Hurry in. Offer ends March 31st. At Dewey Motor, it's not just service. It's Dewey Motor Certified Service.
Discover the unlimited ways you can stay in stone. Honoring the memory of a loved one with an enduring monument is a timeless tradition. More than simply stone, a memorial serves to remind all the time shared and moments cherished. Sennett Pirschbacher Monument is available to help you choose the perfect monument to honor your loved ones. Sennett Pirschbacher, your full-service funeral home, is locally owned and operated. Hometown service and care when you need it the most. Contact Bob at 641-932-5197 and let him serve you in the time of need.
Take the family to see the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters. Come witness basketball history with the incredible new four-point shot. The legendary Harlem Globetrotters will celebrate their 85th consecutive season when their dazzling 2011 Four Times the Fun World Tour stops in Des Moines. Wells Fargo Arena, Sunday, April 17th at 2 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at dollstickets.com or at the Wells Fargo Arena box office.
Welcome back, everyone, to this special KIC broadcast, Remembering Red, and celebrating the life and legend of Ironman George Red Fry. And joining me here in the broadcast studio, a gentleman who's become a good friend of the family and a friend of George Red Fry, Terry Malloy, the president and CEO of Community First Credit Union. And Terry, George, whenever you brushed George's life, he made you better, and you fell in love with the man instantly because of his. He was strong with a handshake, and I go this handshake told you of his strength, and then he would greet you with that that smile that made you feel like you were his friend for life.
That's right, Jason. Incredible handshake, even in his late 80s. It was amazing. Yeah, you know, I wanted to squeeze even harder, but I was afraid he'd really hurt me. You know, if I
was smart enough to know better, Terry.
But he truly was. You know, it's a real honor and pleasure for me to be here tonight in the celebration of Red Fry. And wow, listening to Zabel relate some of those memories and several adjectives I've heard tonight that I remember as I got about Red Fry as I got to know him better. Sense of humor. He was humble. He's gracious. And I think most importantly, he had a servant's attitude. And if you look at all the organizations he was involved in over the years in Albia, you can see that. And I know he made me feel very comfortable the first time I met him.
And that was just his presence, you know. Like I said, it made it about the other person always. a matter of fact, you would, in a long conversation, if someone didn't know he was an Ironman, didn't know his accomplishments, it never would have came to the table. He would never bring that out. It had to be brought out by somebody else.
Absolutely. And the first time I met him, we were looking to open up a branch here, a credit union branch, Community First Credit Union in Albion. And we'd been looking for some property, and I received a call from Dean Bettis, who knew the Fry family very well, and he arranged for me to meet with Red and also Beth, his daughter. And so I met him at their home one evening. We sat around the dining room table. And before we even got to talking about business, Red wanted to know about me. You know, where are you from, family? Just the kind of guy he was. And the more we talked that evening, I began to realize this is a special person I have an opportunity, not just to do business with, but to meet. And you know, someone that I've come across in my life. And I mentioned a sense of humor as we were talking about, you know, selling the property. He said, over the years, I've had many people approach me wanting to buy this property, but I always wanted to make sure I had good neighbors. I was very particular about who was going to live behind me. And he says, now may be the time to sell it. But he said, you know, I don't want trash blowing into my yard from a fast food restaurant. He goes, now, if we work out a deal here and the credit union buys it, if you let money blow into my yard, I'm okay with that.
You know, that is so George. You know, you see this big, strong guy, and he greets you, and he would always greet me with that smile, say, well, you're looking better. I mean, so,
you know, but a true story. I mean, he just put me at such ease, and then Beth was there that night, and we kind of formed a common bond because she had been a credit union member for 30 years in Colorado, and I could see many of the qualities that Red had that was also in Beth as well. So we did reach an agreement to sell the property, and it's been outstanding for us, and I think for the community as well.
Well, the thing that stood out to me is when you sold that property, that was always the Rotary Club cornfield, and Red is such a servant, and had done so many things in the community. And I walk in to do the first coach's corner, and I see that mural, and you know this. I started to cry because, you know, here's a man that I knew who had done so much in his life, was a hero, and oftentimes I didn't know, because he was so humble, that people didn't understand how much he had accomplished beyond football. I mean, he was a veteran, and in my mind, in talking to him about different stories, he was a hero in many different facets of his life. And to see that mural up there, it really touched my heart that, you know, we were starting to really... Someone was celebrating George in a way that he deserved to be celebrated.
That's right. Red really was kind of the inspiration for the design of our lobby in that branch. As I got to know him, and yes, his athletic achievements are very impressive, but what really impressed me most was all the people he has helped over the years through his connections with the VA administration. And I felt, you know, there's something we've got to do to, you know, pay tribute to Red. And on one occasion when I was over at his house, he was showing me around, and he's very humble, but showing me some of the pictures and from the Hawkeye days. And so we gathered up several photos and gave them to a company, and they created that collage that we have in our lobby area today. Because what we wanted to do was create the same atmosphere, same feeling I had being in his home. And that's how we came up with the design of our lobby. Like, there's a fireplace there and a mantle, and here's this mural collage honoring and paying tribute to Red Fry.
And he was uncomfortable, honestly, when I spoke to him about it. He'd always kind of pushed it aside, but it truly is beautiful. I have had a great deal of respect for you and the credit union for doing that for Red. And it's a place you have to go and see when you come to town now. It's in to go and see that mural, because it really is a celebration of Red's life. And Terry, I know that mural is the beginning of something we're going to team up on, and several other people. You know, we're gonna start a project to do something to really step forward and to memorialize Red's life, because he impacted so many people in this community. I never want that story to stop.
No, and we're happy to participate in any way we possibly can. Again, when you meet Red, and you know, he's so gracious, and you hear all the things he's done for other people, it makes you want to go out and help others as well, too. Again, that servant's attitude, and that kind of epitomized George Red Fry.
I talk with Terry Malloy, the CEO and president of Community First Credit Union at corner 34 and 5 here in town. You can go out to the credit union, and there's a beautiful mural put in there that really celebrates George Red Fry. We're going to come back here, continue our conversation as we roll along on this special KIC Sports broadcast, Remembering Red. We'll return in just a moment. Dave Paxton, editor and publisher of the Albion newspaper, will join us, and I think we're going to share some stories, some individual stories that each of us have had read relayed to us when we come back to this special broadcast.
Quality hay starts with quality equipment, and during John Deere season from Barker Implement, all John Deere pull-type hay tools are available with great financing and money-saving offers. Take this time to save on quality equipment like John Deere square balers, conditioners, and 8-series round balers. Learn more at ebarkers.com or any one of our 8 Barker Implement locations. Powered by green, driven by values.
Barker Implement, always here for you.
Thunder Country KIIC back out here at Thomas Highway 5 north of Albia, where the best deals are. They have a 2004 Dodge Ram 1500 two-wheel drive pickup with a V8 automatic transmission and just over 80,000 miles with a contractor's box priced at $9,750. Or how about a 2004 Chevy Silverado regular cab short box two-wheel drive with a 4.3 V6 automatic transmission with just over 40,000 miles priced at $10,500. These trucks are ready to go to work for you. That's Thomas Highway 5.
For U.S. Cellular customers, waiting years for a phone upgrade is passé. Old school. Just plain obsolete. It's like pecking away on a manual typewriter. Watching a black and white TV. Or listening to an 8-track tape. Why should you have to wait years to carry the latest, greatest phone in your palm, pocket, or purse? Switch to U.S. Cellular, and you won't have to do any such thing. That's because we offer you phone upgrades in as little as 10 months. Switch now and enjoy faster phone upgrades. Get free accessories and ringtones, too. To learn more, visit uscellular.com/belief.
Stop in today at Boyd Satellite and Cellular, your local authorized agent of U.S. Cellular, for more details. Boyd's has 4 locations to serve you: New Sharon, Grinnell, Newton, and Albia.
Welcome back, everyone, to this special KIC Sports broadcast, Remembering Red, celebration of the life and legend of Ironman George Red Fry. George passed away on the 19th day of this month, on Saturday. Ironically, his favorite number was 19, and that's the number he wore as a Iowa Hawkeye. Of course, a Hawkeye legend, a legend here in Monroe County and Albion, and really stole the hearts. And joining me now is Dave Paxton, the editor and publisher of the Albion newspaper. And Dave, many people don't realize that George actually went to Iowa without a scholarship and really went there to play baseball.
I wasn't aware of that until just recently, but he went to he played a year of junior college football for the Pirates here in Albia, got hurt, ended his season, had a pretty unproductive season his freshman year of college, and then he had an uncle who worked for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and his uncle, this is kind of before the era of a lot of scholarships, there were a few players that went on scholarship. His uncle sponsored him, which basically he kind of underwrote his first semester, and and so he went up and was throwing the baseball around, and Coach Eddie Anderson saw him and asked him, "Have you ever snapped the ball between your legs?" And Red said, "No, I don't believe I ever have done that." He said, "We'll do it," and he did. And Eddie says, "You're not going to play baseball; you're going to play football."
Yeah, I mean, the ball disappeared in his hands. I mean, Red had these huge hands, and the ball just disappeared. And I think that Red said, has told me many times, that really changed his life forever, you know, becoming an Iowa Hawkeye football player, that being a part of that team.
Yeah, and he was a kid And I apologize. I haven't been able to listen to the broadcast because I've been at the school board meeting. And but his, you know, his dad died when he was 12, and he led a real hard scrabble life. He's a legendary shot. That's the one thing you hear over and over again. He needed one shell to get his deer. I mean, he never used more than one shell a deer season. He was just that good. And he shot squirrel and rabbits and sold them to the miners, to the railroad people. And that's how he made extra money for his mother. And then he would bring food home, too. That's why he's, you know, the great sportsman he was. But he just went to... I really don't know. He went to Iowa because of this uncle. Encouraged him to come, and yeah, it changed not only his life but our community because of it.
And that's it. He's touched so many things in this community, and like the Great Generation, they did things without bringing a lot of attention upon themselves. And George involved in so many different things in the community where, you know, he didn't want to have the spotlight on him.
He never. And I talked to just somebody today that he was still. Involved in the Wall of Fame selection last fall when his, you know, his memory started to fade and he broke his hip later but he was there. He was always engaged in the community and in everything he did. The thing that, and I don't know if you guys have talked about this or not, but we love him as an athlete. Red would tell you, and he was probably telling you the truth. He was an average athlete.
That's right.
He probably wouldn't rank among the top 10 physical specimens that have come from Albia. What makes him so special is that the completeness of his life. He went to Iowa not as a great student, became a great student. He earned two master's degrees. In addition to his BA in phys ed, he had a master's in occupational therapy and a master's in administration. He was renowned in the field of occupational therapy. He presented papers to the psychiatric, the national or the international psychiatric conference in Canada, and another one in St. Louis. At one time, he managed 1,000 occupational therapists across the United States and VAs.
And that's why I thought he was a part of the largest occupational program in history.
He allowed... The thing that you forget is that Red was one of the men that helped veterans, you know, horribly disfigured veterans coming out of World War II and Korea to regain their lives. And he was one of the guys that discovered that for their mental health, they need to be able to do things, and you know that's really to his credit. That's so much more than who doesn't love the Iron Man story, but that is so much more to the country and our community.
And those who don't get to know him haven't heard that story because he wasn't going to put that spotlight on him. And I asked George one time. I said, George, tell me what are those characteristics or those things that you maybe give me as advice in my life that has made a difference in yours? And he said stick-to-itiveness.
I talked to Coach Graver, and I had a conversation today, and George Red would come and talk to Gary's teams a lot, and he would the theme of his life was toughness, mental toughness and physical toughness, and he just exemplified that ideal of just toughen it out, you know, if you to win, you just get tougher than the next guy, both mentally and physically. And it seems kind of simple, but there's not a lot of people that...
I think that's why it's so hard.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dave Paxton, editor and publisher of the Albion newspaper, as we celebrate the life of Ironman George Red Fry. Obviously, he will be ever remembered as an Ironman at the University of Iowa, but the impact he's had on this community of Albia goes much deeper than anything he ever did on the gridiron. But Dave, you know, he's shared so many stories with me that I want to share them. You know, one of my favorite stories that Red talked about being a part of that 1939 Ironman team was, I think, one of the games that really brought a lot of attention to the team. Besides Niall Kinnick, was the Iowa-Notre Dame game. And Notre Dame, obviously, with its prowess and with its lore, they came in the number one rated team in the country. And everyone expected Iowa, who had been struggling as a program, to really be mopped up by Notre Dame. every Friday night before home games, Coach Anderson would get the guys together and have a meeting at the field house, and George would tell me that the guys would get together, and Irwin Prassy, who by many accounts was the best athlete on the team, now Kinnick obviously the player that got the most recognition, but Irwin was kind of a cut-up, so the guys are getting ready for the meeting, and they're all joking around and goofing off. And Prassy was evidently was giving them the hard time, the guys. And Anderson snuck in and tried to get their attention. And he said, "Hey, guys, how bad are we going to beat Notre Dame tomorrow?" And Prassy, of course, with his jovial attitude, 45-0, coach. Anderson replied, "Hell no, we're going to beat them 7-6, and they'll remember us for the rest of their lives." And that's exactly what they did.
The another great story came out of that, and again I heard that today. It was fun being at the. It was really a great day. I spent the afternoon at the funeral home with Red's family. But one of the stories that I heard too was that Red would tell is that this was before the NCAA had a lot of power, and in Iowa, and this would never happen today. But an Iowa alumni told Al Coupe if they would win the game, he would buy him a brand new car. And Al had told Red this, and so when they huddled up, Al says to the team, "Boys, I want to drive that new car home."
Al Coupe was the flash in that fire, because he would come back here. George would bring him back here, and you talk about. Two opposites, you know, George, Mr. Humble and Mr. Quiet, and Al, Mr. Yeah. Outgoing, and turn that light on.
They both agreed that had now Kinnick lived, he would have been president of the United States, that you get him in a serious moment, and they would both agree on that. And another story that I heard, and this goes to Red's toughness and how he was prepared to meet Coach Anderson, who 85 guys turned out for the Iowa football team that fall of 1939, when the first game, when the ball kicked off in the first game, there were 32 players on the team. He was just he was brutal. But Red, in high school, to play baseball, these are poor, hardscrabble kids. To play baseball in La Villa, they would have to run or hitchhike to La Villa. And Red and his buddies would sprint telephone poles. They'd sprint a telephone pole and walk a telephone pole. That's how they got to the baseball game, and then when they got done with the game, they came back. And so, I mean, these guys were, talk about A, serious athletes, but, I mean, they were just tough.
We can't get our kids to sprint from A to B on the controller, you know. It's just a different generation. And, yeah. You know, every time you lose someone like Red, you start to see that slip away from us.
Another story I heard today, this is from, I'll give credit to Eric Bishop for telling this one because he heard it. He was with Red. There was an occasion where somebody was speaking about visiting an island in the South Pacific and how this group had provided education and health care for these children. And Red leaned down and to the person next to him and said, "I bombed the crap out of that island back in the day."
Well, he was a warrior, a pilot, you know. He just had everything he touched. He's a legend at. You know, everything he touched, he won at.
He was just a, you know, really a complete man. You'd like to be able to suggest to the kids that are, you know, so excited about athletics or whatever that, you know, the greatness comes with completeness. And Red was, he was a scholar. He was he was an athlete. The other story I heard today from his kids that when they lived in Washington D.C., he. Was an he was an occupational therapist in D.C. at a hospital, and he and his buddies played touch football with Jack Kennedy and his brothers. That they would, they knew the legend. They knew these guys were Iowa football players, and actually they were U.S. Navy flight, the flight school Seahawks had. They had a semi-professional football team. They all played there.
Yeah, the Iowa pre-flight school, the Seahawks. School. And Bernie Bierman at the time, which was a great coach at Minnesota, came down and coached that Iowa Seahawk team. Red's been surrounded with so many legends. Tom Harmon, names that...
Bud Wilkinson was with that group of guys. Red was so understated.
Yeah, I mean, just it.
It was year, well, and Eric was, Eric Bishop's grandpa was his very best friend from years and years and years. And so he didn't know Red was a star athlete until he was 18 or 19 years old. They just didn't talk about it. They talked about fishing and hunting and their kids and that kind of stuff.
His grandson didn't. You know, his grandson, grandkids really didn't understand that. The kids didn't necessarily know that. I was talking to his grandson, Jonathan Roberts, who went to Iowa State to get his engineering degree. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize how amazingly of a career he had at Iowa, how well he was thought of, how much he had done.
And, you know, I say Red might not have been the greatest athlete to come out of high school in Albia. He was drafted by the Cleveland
Rams.
That's
it. Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing that gets forgotten.
He says he got drafted by the Cleveland Rams, but then Uncle Sam drafted him before. And that's really not true. He joined the Marines and to become a pilot. So, he served his country before he served his pocketbook.
A lot of people have asked me, is there other Ironmen alive? And I say, yes, there's one other teammate that's a part of that 1939 team, but there was only 13 true Ironmen. So sometimes people get confused. And that's nothing to take away from Henry Ballenweider, who's the remaining survivor. Mm-hmm. But the guys that earned the title of Ironman were guys that played the full 60 minutes, and Red was only one of 13. He got that on his last game.
Last game. The thing that's so interesting, too, is that the sports writers, media people who are, you know, always so fair-minded about things, they were just ripping Anderson. Who is Red Fry? What in the world are you thinking about putting this sophomore in? And Eddie Anderson says, you watch Red play. After the game, you'll be wondering where I've been hiding him the whole time. And they criticized. They didn't think he could cover a pass. He intercepted two passes in that game. And then the next year when they beat Notre Dame again, he intercepted the pass that won the game for him. So
he finished that ball game with, you know, at halftime they took him in and stitched him up. He got mm-hmm. a cleat to the face. it's just hard to even put into words how tough he was.
Yeah, those guys, you know, playing football without a helmet. I mean, even though they were tackling with their shoulders, it was still
I still think that's what Joe Millage had to have done. Got suffered from that. But, this really is a sad day for our community, but with it is a great deal of joy that we know that we've been a part and have been brushed by the life of George Red Fry, and it's been a difference maker in our community, in each of us, and truly the entire state and country, particularly at that time, 1939, we were coming out of the Great Depression, and a guy comes along, Niall Kinnick, called the Corn Belt Comet. Kinnick won the Heisman, which everyone knows, but he won the Male Outstanding Athlete of the Year over Joe DiMaggio. Mm-hmm. These guys stole the hearts not just of Iowans, but the entire country, which gave hope mm-hmm. in a time when there was hopelessness.
Well, and you know, I know we're probably about done, but
I'm running the show. We're always long.
You know, last fall, Jason, I decided that I was going to call the football field Iron Man Field. And I didn't get any permission to do that, and then which is fine. And that you guys picked that up and really ran with it. And it's Iron Man Field. It's going to be forever. As long as I'm with the newspaper, it's going to be Iron Man Field. And I'm guessing as long as you're putting breath out on the radio, it's going to be Iron Man Field. And the reason that is not because of just, I mean, it would be easy just to say it's because he played with the Ironmen, and that's good enough.
That's good enough.
It's probably one of the greatest sports stories of our nation's history. But if we want our kids to understand that athletics is a vehicle to prosperity, to doing great things for your country, doing great things for your community, of getting your education, of serving your country, of being a good family man, all those things, you just roll that up in Iron Man Field when you think of Red Fry.
Couldn't have said any better myself, and I will tell you that I know that you're going to be a part of a large group of people who are going to come together, and we're going to do something that's worthy of the honor that Red Fry deserves, and we're going to start that process, and we're going to keep everyone posted on what we're going to do. But I promise you, when this group of people get together, it will be more than enough to honor. Never enough, but we're going to do something to really go out and honor Ed Frye. And I know you've committed to be a part of that organization.
You bet.
Well, this has been a difficult night, but a night that brings us great joy because we've been celebrating a man that's been an amazing influence on all of our lives and this community, George Red Frye. And Dave, before I let you go, I know that you're probably putting together a piece for the paper. Maybe you can share with the people who are listening what you've got planned.
I spent most of the day doing it. It was funny. I went over to the funeral home, and Beth was there, and Frank and George Jr., and they said, "Thank you for all you've done for my dad." And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That is just wrong. Thank you for sharing your dad with us. And so I got to spend the day Eric Bishop and I looking in old bound volumes. So we're going to have a pretty substantial story tomorrow in the paper.
Very good. Dave Paxton, editor and publisher of the Alpine newspaper. Really appreciate you coming on and being a part of this this show. Well, thank you, the listener, for listening tonight. In some small manner, we hope that we'll never come close to matching and the deservedness that Red deserves in terms of his recognition and honor. But Red has really touched the lives of so many people. And will be forever remembered. Tomorrow, the funeral will be held at the First Christian Church at 2:00. We've heard that maybe some people from the University of Iowa will come and join us. And I talked to Gary Barta and Coach Ferentz's office. They wanted to be a part of this program. But in this world of busyness, they were not able to be here tonight. They did want to send along their regards and their condolences to the family. On behalf of everyone here at the radio station, we want to send along our heartfelt prayers to the family, the Red Frye family. What an outstanding family they are as well, and why wouldn't they be coming from such a great man, Red Frye. This is Jason Summers saying good night for now, and this has been a special KIC Sports broadcast, Remembering Red, the celebration of the life and legend of Ironman George Red Frye. Rest in peace, my friend.